I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, folks. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. We are joined by Jeremy Cooker, Senior VP of Marketing at New Orleans & Company. And the reason I am excited about this conversation is I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, just how fiercely competitive this arena truly is and luring people to our city. We have so many great things to offer. But this is like brutal, the competition. Everybody putting their best foot forward. Everything that goes on in this city moves the needle, maybe in a positive way, maybe in a not so positive way. And I'm sure Jeremy may not want to talk about it in that context, but there are a lot of challenges out there and a lot of competition. And, you know, we just talked to the River District folks, which is going to be transformational for that whole convention center area. But it's a positive note. It's a plus up for us. And you got to hit things in real time here all the time. So with that, Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Noel. It's a pleasure to be here. You're right. It is a challenge, but fortunately we have an incredible team here at New Orleans & Company. We have some amazing partners across the city, and we are up to the challenge.
So let's start this way. Kind of define the tourism industry convention business landscape nationally for us, if you would.
Well, you know, New Orleans used to be on a rotation. Many years ago, we were one of four or five cities, just a handful of cities that would get major citywide conventions. And since over the last 20 years or so, that competition has grown tremendously. So you have cities all over the country building convention centers, renovating convention centers, adding hotel spaces. And now instead of competing against four different destinations, we're competing against, you know, sometimes 15, 20 for that convention business and those major events. So it takes a big effort. Yeah. Go ahead.
And that in and of itself is emblematic of the economic impact, right? I mean, people recognize that these are real dollars and real people coming to your hometown.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when you look at other cities our size, you know, we always like to say that New Orleans punches above its weight. I mean, no city our size has hosted 11 Super Bowls, you know, huge major events. We do Mardi Gras every year. I mean, we are a really competitive city for the size of city that we are.
No doubt. So let's start. What does it take, on a daily basis to lure and market New Orleans relative to visitors?
Right. Well, you know, it's a great question. We have to tap into what makes New Orleans special, what makes us such a unique destination, what people love about our city. And we have to find those people who are just naturally acclimated to coming to experience what we have here in the city. So people who love to explore different destinations, who love architecture, who love food, who love music, love all the things that New Orleans really excels at. So we identify those audiences, and then we work very hard to bring that experience to life in the way that we message to those audiences in our advertising and our public relations in everything we do.
So is there someone, so what are the demographics, so to speak, of our audience, our target audience? Who are they? And
sure,
where are
yeah.
they?
Yeah, well, we focus on audiences who are deeply curious and passionate about travel. We call them our culture seekers. And we also are adding a new layer of audiences to our marketing, which is luxury travelers, people who are looking for luxury experiences that feel one of a kind. And we reach them wherever they consume media. So digital channels, social media, connected TV, different travel platforms, news websites. We work very closely with a phenomenal media agency, and they help us zero in on where these travelers consume their media, and then we put that messaging in front of them. And then we measure it to make sure that, you know, it's working. We test a lot of different types of creative. We're running a culinary campaign right now that we're super excited about. I know you're familiar with culinary. Almost 150 restaurants participating this year. We created five different types of creative going after five distinct audiences to encourage people not only to come enjoy a meal at phenomenal restaurants at a discounted rate in August, but to consider spending the night and consider visiting an attraction, staying at a hotel, doing all those other things that you can do. So we've expanded that culinary campaign. We're testing five different pieces of creative for five different audiences, from Mobile to Lafayette to Jackson, Mississippi. And it's been really fun to watch the response and see how people are engaging with that messaging.
So I guess there is a difference then in the strategies deployed, makes sense, of with driving distance travelers as opposed mm-hmm. to people that have to fly here.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, luckily we have something for everyone here, and so we appeal to audiences far and wide. We also appeal to international travelers. Kim Priez, who heads up our tourism department, does a phenomenal job with partners at the state, reaching audiences as far away as Australia, India, the UK, France, Germany, you name it. And then locally, you know, we're marketing throughout the year to people as far away as California, New York, but also close in. And so culinary was an opportunity. It's a short drive in from Mobile or from Lafayette or Jackson, Mississippi. People are familiar with New Orleans, very familiar with New Orleans and what we have to offer. So it's a little more of a strategy there of just trying to get that drive-in market that can come on a last minute notice and support our restaurants and maybe even add a night or two of a hotel stay.
If you don't mind, let's talk about this new venture relative to luxury travel. I mean, I guess that's why, you know, y'all were successful in luring Boku d'Or here, right? I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, Boku d'Or, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
That's what they, you know, a lot of the luxury travel folks follow that. And then, you know, I guess what's equally important, you tell me, Emeril's getting, you know, and getting some rating with Michelin and other restaurants getting Michelin recognition. I guess all of that kind of plays in for that luxury travel portion of this, right?
No doubt. I mean, we have some phenomenal opportunities for luxury travelers. And frankly, you know, with the economic uncertainty that we saw earlier in the year, we knew that the data was showing that luxury travelers were the audiences that were actually not afraid to travel. They were relatively immune to the economic uncertainty, at least when it came to travel. And so it just made sense for us to look at the assets that we had here that would appeal to a luxury audience and then go specifically after them where they live in zip codes across the country, and then get specific messaging in front of them showing them, you know, our world-class restaurants, but also a phenomenal venues like MS Rao, for example, where you can find one-of-a-kind artifacts that, you know, people fly in, you know, princes fly in from the Middle East to purchase. So there is definitely something here for luxury travelers, and we're just beginning to tap into that market. Not to mention our hotels, Noel, when you think about
I was going to say we have a number of hotels, and then you have, I guess, a sector of that are gaming people, right? They like to gamble. And with the redevelopment of the casino, Nobu being there, and, you know, you see that as part of that luxury landscape, all of that helps.
100%. I mean, the work that Caesars has done, the investment they've made in that particular property really allows them and us to attract an entirely different class of traveler, which is very exciting. It's a phenomenal space. And once they get here, of course, there's all of the other things that we can put in front of them for them to enjoy and hopefully get them to come back.
How important is, like, our city? Our city's really easy to get around in, right? And, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort. And although I guess the luxury travel folks, a lot of that is taken, you know, they have folks that take care of a lot of those things. But does that help with that sector of the traveling community?
I definitely don't think it hurts. I mean, walkability is one of our strengths. We, you know, that's one of the reasons people say year after year that we should have a Super Bowl every year. You know, I don't know that the city could necessarily deal with a Super Bowl every year, but I mean, it's one of the reasons people love to come here for major events and big conventions. And, you know, I think luxury travelers feel the same way. It's great to not have to get in a car and drive across town or be in traffic for, you know, an hour or so to go from one place to the next. New Orleans really offers so many experiences within a short walk or even a short drive, or you can hop on the streetcar for that matter and get uptown in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, just to pivot to something that I'm very curious about too. We, with young kids, we used to travel, you know, go to the panhandle a lot, to the beach. And the kids are almost 30 now. And it used to be that there was a distinct difference between in-season and off-season, right? Not anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there is an, you know, off-season
right
there. I don't care when you go to the panhandle. You can go there New Year's Eve and the place is packed. How important is that to us? I mean, you know, we've had this on off, but my view, it may be elementary on my part, but I don't know that we really have an off season. When I look at all the offerings and what's going on in the city, you know, through the summer, which used to be, you know, like the Mojave Desert at one time, it's not anymore. I mean, I have just been incredibly impressed by how many people are in the quarter. You know, it was down at GW Finn's the other night, and it was, we, you know, looked down in the quarter, it was packed. I mean, it was like, you know,
yeah,
it just doesn't seem like there's any down or off season any longer.
Well, there are certainly ebbs and flows to the visitor traffic, but I mean, the beautiful thing about being able to market a city like New Orleans, besides the fact that everyone here truly loves this place with all their heart, is that there is something for everyone year round. I mean, we just had White Linen Night. We just had phenomenal Satchmo Summerfest. We're coming up on Pickle Fest this weekend, Drew Brees' pickleball tournament. I mean, there is literally something happening practically every weekend in this city, if not during the week as well. So I would challenge anyone, if you're bored when you come here, then you're not looking in the right place to plan your trip. And we can get into that a little bit later, too.
So how much does that impact, like, your scheduling, your cadence of the marketing, and where you're marketing? Because that's a good problem to have, but it's a challenge to manage, right?
It is. I mean, there is, like any market, you're going to have a finite number of media dollars, and you have to be really smart about how you turn those on and off, how you dial up the marketing. And so we work very closely with Stephanie Turner, who I believe has been on your show a few times. She's our Senior Vice President of Convention Sales and Strategies, does a phenomenal job. Her team is literally in the trenches. Our former CEO used to liken it to hand-to-hand combat out there, getting incredible conferences, meetings, conventions, big events for our city on a daily basis. And so we'll work with her team, we'll work with Kim Priez's team, and we'll look at the calendar for the year and identify where are the need periods, where do we need to plus up, where do we need to kind of dial up the leisure marketing to encourage people to come, to kind of keep that, keep a steady flow of people coming in and out of the city. And so it's very strategic in the way we approach it. And, you know, back in the day, we used to do two campaigns a year for leisure. We would do summer and we do holiday, and that was it. And now, to your point, it's really more of a year-round effort. It's just a matter of when we need to dial up strategically to make the most impact.
So what is actually running right now, for example?
So right now we're running this expanded culinary campaign 5 different spots, including a local one that is currently running locally here, just encouraging people to get out and explore some of the restaurants, obviously, and take advantage of those great deals. And then 4 other spots running specifically for those different audiences that we think might be excited about coming in for culinary, but all the other reasons to visit as well during August. So we're going after budget travelers, we're going after luxury travelers, and those creatives are very different, but they're all the same message. Come to New Orleans and come plug in and enjoy everything we have to offer this month.
So you've been in the business, 30-plus years. What has changed? I mean, I guess your digital marketing now is probably the lion's share of what y'all are doing, just trying to hit those target audiences.
Yeah. You know, I had a great mentor in Mark Romig for many, many years. He was just a phenomenal leader. And back in the day, I mean, he'll tell you, when we first started, we were doing a lot of print advertising. And when we made the switch, I remember it vividly when we switched in probably the early 2010s, 2011 timeframe, we decided to put a lot of money. We started putting it into digital. And, you know, we had a little bit of pushback, like, hey, we need to have this full page ad in Travel and Leisure. But we just realized that, you know, digital was easier to measure. It was more sustainable in terms of getting our message out consistently. And, you know, since that shift, we've continued to evolve as new technologies become available, as we can measure better, as we can understand where our audiences are looking for information. We can be there exactly where we need to be. So less print, more digital, and then all kinds of new, I could bore you to death with all the new tools and tricks that we use to try to get in front of our audiences.
Well, it's all about the analytics, right? And
that's right.
That y'all are using now. I mean, I guess, and everyone is. So it makes it even harder now, really, to distinguish yourself from the others, because they're all deploying a lot of the very similar strategies. Is that fair?
It's a little harder, but it's also, we're the only New Orleans there is. And so we get excited about being able to say that every day.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're visiting with Jeremy Cooker, Senior VP of Marketing, New Orleans and Company. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Jeremy Cooker, Senior VP of Marketing, New Orleans and Company. And just as an aside, Jeremy was part of a team that helped launch the city's first official tourism website in 1995. Jeremy, you're getting old, baby.
I know. Thanks for reminding me.
Let me ask this question. You know, so like on the convention side, it's kind of easy to determine, you know, what your pitch and whether it's working or not, right? You get a contract and they're coming to the city. When you're trying to lure, you know, the driving visitor or the, you know, the fly-in visitor, especially when it comes to the analytics of digital advertising, you know the clicks, you know whether or not people are visiting, but do you know when it actually translates into a booking?
Yeah, it's a little tricky, you know, because as a destination marketing organization, a DMO here at New Orleans & Company, we don't necessarily have a cash register. So we're not just booking like a set of rooms like a hotel would or tables at a restaurant. We're promoting the destination across the board. However, a lot of our messaging, like this culinary campaign we're running right now, it gives us the opportunity, you're exactly right, to measure website visits from that. How many clicks are we getting from these ads that we're running? How many completed video views do we get? And we fine-tune as those campaigns are running. And then ultimately, we look at different data sets. We're total data nerds here, Newell. So we look at different data sets to identify, one, hotel visitation. Are people actually showing up in the hotels as we had hoped? And also, we use a tool called Placer AI, which allows us to track visitor movement from these markets that we're advertising in, and whether or not they show up in market, and then where they go when they do show up in market. And so we look at a number of different data points to understand what campaigns are working. I mean, the other issue that we are challenged with is that it's not an immediate call to action. And so you're not seeing an ad and then hopping in the car and driving to New Orleans, you know, within, right. within a day. So there's a little bit of lag time, but we always look for correlations, right? We look for if we can see, as a former consultant of ours used to say, the fish swimming together. And so when we run an ad, we know we're running in key markets. Are those markets starting to pop within 2-3 weeks in terms of where they were last year? We also have to factor in a few other data points, but that's what we're typically looking at, is if our advertising metrics are correlating in some way to actual visitation.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. There's a whole science behind this, right, of human behavior and whether or not you touch those emotional points or things that kind of drive
right.
people to make that decision. You know, there was always a body of science out there about how many of the familial decisions the females make as opposed to the male.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a science to who actually the decision maker is in a familial unit about travel?
You know, our previous research had shown that women tend to make, particularly in family units with a man and a woman at the head of the household, we would typically see women being more of the travel planners. I think that shifted a little bit. We're not as concerned about that as much as making sure that we are inspiring people to choose New Orleans over all the other options they have, and we're positioning New Orleans in a way that is true and it resonates with these decision makers. And so I think that decision maker audience has kind of broadened and evolved a bit than just a certain demographic.
So when you news travels fast now, I mean, I'm sure when you first got into this game, you know, they weren't, mm-hmm. you know, 24 different news cycles in a day like there is today. I mean, it's, you know, people ask me all the time when in my prep for this show, how much do you do? I said, well, I do a lot because I have to get on the screen at different points in time in the day, because what was true at 10 a.m. may not be true at 6 p.m. And, you know,
that's
these
right.
news cycles, you know, are so quick, and the news is changing and evolving real time all the time. You know, if there's a happenstance here in the city, whether positive or negative, how does that translate to what y'all are doing? And do you have to modify or leverage on the positive side? And what do you do with the negative stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think the advent of technology has helped us a lot with that. You know, in the old days, we'd have a print ad running, and if the headline was not in line with maybe a recent event, we were kind of stuck with it. Now, you know, with paid search, paid social, we can be out instantly almost, you know, with a creative change. I'll give you an example. We had a great campaign that we launched earlier this spring. It was a spring campaign to drive summer travel, running in May, and the headline, it's a beautiful shot of a couple on a balcony in the French Quarter, and the headline said, "The reset you didn't know you needed," or "The reset you need," and the call to action was, "Plan your getaway." And because our media sometimes runs on news sites, one of the headlines was, you may have heard about it, we had a jailbreak earlier this year,
mm-hmm.
and so we were running
little small happenstance.
That could have potentially shown up next to that headline. And we were like, okay, plan your getaway is probably not the right call to action for this particular ad. So we were able to work very quickly to change that and just say, plan your trip. And in some cases, you know, depending on the news and the gravity of the headline, we'll just pause media altogether because it's just not appropriate or, you know, it just feels tone deaf. But in that case, we were messaging outside of the market. I think we paused for a little bit, and then when we came back on, we changed the headline. to something that wasn't as inflammatory.
And I guess the difficulty for you guys as well is that you don't know whether or not that, like that news story, for example, is going to go national or not. I mean, that news story actually went international. I mean, there were, you know, papers in Europe reporting on, on that, and news agencies in Europe, I should say. But so it's kind of a guessing game, right? Do I react? How quick do I react? Do I take it down? Do I not?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, but I will say, you know, we have one of the best in the business in Kelly Schultz, who runs our comms and our PR team, our senior vice president there. And we are in lockstep with her pretty much every step of the way when news breaks. So whether it's positive or negative, we make sure we are in sync with how we are talking to the public. She handles it wonderfully, masterfully with the media, obviously, and with our partners. And then we just want to make sure we're being consistent with how we are communicating what we need to be communicating to our visitors as well.
Yeah. Let me ask this. I've been a big proponent of your website, neworleans.com. I think y'all do a great job. Culinary, I was on it last night, just kind of perusing through all the restaurants. I'm a big foodie guy, and I love pairing wines with the food that I consume. And I talk a lot about why it's important for us as locals to get involved. You know, to promote our restaurants, to talk our restaurants up. If you have people from out of town, to share your experience with it, because it's not enough money to buy all that, right?
That's right. I mean, first of all, I just want to say I really appreciate the kind words that you've given to our team about the site. We take a lot of pride in it. We have a phenomenal editorial team that works day in and day out to just make sure we have the best content and the most helpful resource for anyone considering making plans to New Orleans. So thank you for those kind words. We always see a little Newell bump in the stats when you're talking about it. So we appreciate that.
Well,
as
that's
well.
Good to hear. Keep saying that.
But you're absolutely right. You know, like locals are our best ambassadors. They know the city as well as anybody, and no city is perfect. And so we're going to have our own gripes sometimes about things, the way things are going. But we truly love living here. And I think that's why a lot of locals are here, because they just can't get this experience anywhere else. And so what we encourage them to do, one, is tell your friends, obviously, to come to New Orleans. But a great way to stay in touch with what's going on is just to sign up for our newsletter. That goes out every month. It's beautiful. It's a rundown of all the hot things that are coming up in the next few weeks. And that's right on our website. You can sign up right as soon as you go to neworleans.com. And so that's a good way to stay in the loop on what is happening in the city. And then you can share that newsletter with your friends and also encourage them to go to the website.
Well, I can tell you my reaction. Every time I go to the website, it's kind of like, wow, I didn't realize all of that's going on this weekend. You know, I have the benefit of talking to you guys or some, and I, you know, it's amazing. I see your sales team folks at restaurants around the city, you know, and I get a chance to talk to them, and I said, what's up? Oh, we're entertaining guests from Baltimore. Oh, we're entertaining people from this city or that city that are thinking of, you know, coming here and hosting a convention, whether big, small, medium size or otherwise. So that's, you know, it's amazing how much goes into this effort and endeavor. And I don't know that people really appreciate and understand all of the moving parts of this. Because as I talk to folks, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm sure it's easy. I said, guys, y'all have no clue. I said, you know, what little I know of what they do, I can promise you, I have been completely surprised and mesmerized of all the moving parts to make this happen. You know, and I recognize early on that this is just fiercely competitive. And people don't think in that context of cities competing against one another.
No, you're right. They really don't. I mean, it's funny. We had the Today Show here for Mardi Gras. That was a big effort pulled together by Mary Beth Romig and her team, Kelly Schultz. that they were in love with the city, but they were at our building for a parade, and Craig Melvin leaned over to me and he was like, be honest, do you really even need to market New Orleans? And and the answer is surprisingly yes. I mean, it was nice to hear, like, come on.
Well, Craig should know.
No, but we, you know, we can't rely on the idea that everyone
What that's emblematic of is that he was just caught up in the moment and real, you know, was just having a great time and said, man, this ought to be easy.
That's right. That's right. He was like, why wouldn't anyone, why wouldn't everyone come here and enjoy what you have? Nobody else has this. But the thing that I think we're most proud of, and you touched on it, is, I mean, me personally, being able to work alongside roughly 100 other people who are just dedicated to making this city great by doing the work that they do to encourage people to come here, whether it's leisure, whether it's convention, whether it's international. There are so many, I think that's the one point I'd love to get across to your audience. There are so many dedicated people here who truly love the city and truly want the city to succeed. And they are working hard every day on their behalf to make that happen.
Absolutely. And we just need more of everybody else to do the same thing. Jeremy Cooker, thank you so much. Congratulations on all the successes that you guys have had. And we really appreciate the relationship that we have with New Orleans and Company. Jeremy's the Senior VP of Marketing there. Have a great week. And I guess you'll be in a red dress on Saturday. Is that right?
I may be in a red dress. We'll see. I got to see if I can still fit in one. I'm getting a little too many culinary dinners.
There you go. Well, have a great week, my friend.
Thank you, Newell. Take care.
All right. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It's really nice talking to an organization that actually is functioning and working and has a history of success and continues to succeed on so many different fronts. And that's why one of the many reasons I was excited about talking to Jeremy Cooker with New Orleans and Company. The creation of this organization, I think, was critical to the success of the hospitality and tourism industry in this city, the convention business, utilizing the science, the analytics, the data, the marketing, always putting the best foot forward for our city because, you know, yes, we all want to diversify our economy. But while we're diversifying or attempting to diversify our economy, we can't forget what brought us to the game. And we have to manage and massage those successes very carefully in order to keep that momentum going and that success going. And I have to say, my interaction with a whole lot of folks over there at New Orleans and Company, they just do a great job. And I appreciate the work that they do because they have really created a lot of the stability in our economy that we have come to enjoy. And posting numbers and visitors that are coming to this city and increases with a lot of challenging stuff. And I'll just leave it at that. You know, they're plugging away no matter what curveballs are thrown their way and still making it happen for us. And when I say for us, people might wonder, well, what is Newell talking about? Well, you know, when we punch above our weight and we have an organization like this that's creating the successes that we've come to enjoy, what's the byproduct? Well, first and foremost, just go look at NewOrleans.com and go look at the culinary list of all the restaurants there that believe in what they're doing. 150, I think, in total. The finest restaurants in our city. right, that believe in the work that they're doing each and every day in creating and thinking out of the box and pushing the edges of the envelope, all those cliches that are out there. But what's very important about that is that it gives us, as residents here, opportunity. Opportunity to enjoy things that we would typically have to travel afar to enjoy. You know, when we talked to the River District neighborhood guys earlier that Michael Heck brought on, you know, the fact that we've been talking about a jazz museum here for, what, 30 years maybe? It looks like they're in a collaborative with some other folks, they're going to pull it off. I mean, that's huge. Another museum opportunity, not only for the traveling public that comes here, but for us to celebrate the culture of this place that we call home. And that's why I was, you know, I love when I'm able to kind of connect the dots, make it a little bit educational about this and how important it is. And that's why it's important for us to support the restaurant industry here. To let, you know, if you go out, you know, try different places, give everybody an opportunity, give them a chance. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. You know, but when you spread the wealth a little bit like that, it helps everybody. And the interesting thing about the restaurant industry is they're all pulling for one another. I mean, they're competitors, yes, but they're all pulling for one another because, you know, the tide rises for everyone. And that's what's incredibly nice about that as well. We'll be right back, folks. I just want to say that last week we gave away tickets to the Saints' first preseason home game against Jacksonville. This week you can win tickets to see the Saints battle Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos on Saturday, August 23rd in the Caesars Superdome. That's right. You can score two premium tickets to the game, and entering is a breeze. Go to WWL.com/contest for your shot at a pair of tickets. Remember, you can enter one per day. Win tickets to the Saints preseason showdown against the Broncos from Saints Radio WWL. We'll be right back. Check in with Scoot when we return. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, those Epstein files will just not go away. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, Donald Trump can't be happy with South Park. There's a new episode on tonight. And once again, he's going to be Satan's boyfriend. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up.
Stay tuned, folks. Scoot's headed your way. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Have a great Wednesday evening. We'll see you in the morning.
Hey, guys. Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.